listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
I want to just say congratulations to every volunteer that is here serving and every volunteer that's not hearing me, but over here in the children's area, as I all know that it is not an easy thing to pull off two services and all the work and all the commitment and all of the dedication that it takes in order to provide another worship experience for those who like to get church, quote unquote, out of the way so you can do other stuff on Sunday. Somebody say amen. You already know, those of you that aren't currently yet volunteering, you know that's what we're going to do. Come get church out the way and then get over to the lake when it gets warmer. Somebody say, that's me. Praise the Lord. And if I'm back during the summer, see, I don't know what the deal is around here, but I'm always here around wintertime. What's the problem? I mean, they need to bring me around summertime, and I'll be here on the first service as well, and then you can, the second service can watch me preach on video, and I'll be with some of y'all at the lake. Somebody say amen. Come on, Greg, you know I'm going to do it, too. And I don't know how it would be to watch me on video during the second service. That might be a little bit alarming. But anyway, God is faithful. Hey, I want to give you a big hallelujah and preach from Pastor Joe and Pastor Erikaya. They are celebrating on today their seventh wedding anniversary. Come on and give a hand praise for our pastors as they're celebrating. And of course, just to annoy Pastor Joe, I've called him at least 15 times since he's been gone. And I know he's not going to answer, but I also know that he'll slip away and listen to my voicemails. And I can't repeat all that I said to him on voicemail, but hopefully he didn't put it on speakerphone. Somebody say amen. Matter of fact, Pastor Joe, sometimes when he's in meetings, the first thing, before he can say anything, he's like, I want you to know I'm in a meeting and you're on speaker. I'm like, oh. But God is good. And hey, you know what? I am thankful that God has provided New Chapel with a visionary that is able to not only have a vision, but to make it plain on tablets so that those that hear it can run with it. And you are the proof of those that are running with the vision that Pastor Joe and Erikaya have laid out. So give your own self a hand praise for just, go on now. Just, yeah, pat yourself on the back, the shoulder, back of your head, or slap somebody next to you. Amen. I don't care what you do. But hey, I don't know about you, but I am excited to find out about the up-and-coming series, the Red Hot. See, I was looking at that boy asking all those questions, and I was telling him, saying, well, my mom would have just said, hey, shut up and eat your sandwich. That's all there would have been to it. Just eat your sandwich and be quiet, you know, and go on out of here, you know, figure it out. And but, you know, we're living in a day where these questions are being asked more than ever before, and they do need an answer. And they need an answer from here, from here. From the pulpit, the church needs to have an answer for the questions that are being asked, because I don't know if you're paying attention or not, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on around here, and that now we're living in a time where evil is good. Amen. Where they're saying good is evil and evil is good and the truth is a lie and the lie is the truth. And while we've got most churches who will go back in the corner, Mr. Ed, they go in the corner, and they don't want to address no hard issues because they don't want to offend someone who's sitting in the congregation who might be possibly dealing with one of the hard issues that was being mentioned by that little blonde boy eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Amen. But it is the responsibility of the church and the men and women of God who have the final authority, which is the Word of God. And we ought not be afraid or ashamed to tell people what the truth T.I. is. Amen. Amen. See, y'all nervous right now, and it hadn't even got started yet. Like, well, I don't want to offend nobody. I plan on offending people. That's my plan. Say amen. Say amen. Not today. You're lucky. I'm not doing the series, so you don't have to worry about me. I'm not doing the Red Hot Chili Pepper Chili's Baby Back Ribs series. I'm not doing that. But I could, because I ain't scared to. Somebody say amen. So I want you to make sure you get here on that day. And hey, I don't know about y'all, but if you do like chili, don't miss tonight, because there's some folks going to be brewing up some chili, and you won't have to worry about no hot questions. You just have to worry about hot other stuff. Somebody say amen. And have some chili. And, okay, let me just do a quick survey. And I know I got a time limit. The clock's back there on the wall, and we got to get y'all out so we can transition service. So y'all might get the short version of my message, and you can get the long version directly after this service. So feel free to stay. But how many Eagles fans do we have? Not, maybe not just fans, because you're obviously not Eagles fans here in Michigan, but you want the Eagles to win. Raise your hand. Eagle hopefuls. How about how many of you just go ahead and embrace the inevitable with and our Patriot fans? Raise your hand. You want to see the Patriots win. Now, those of you that raised your hand and said that you wanted the Eagles to win, but if you were a betting person, you would root for the Eagles and bet on the Patriots. Somebody say amen. I ain't lying to you. Well, you know, you remember that surgery that he had on his hand? Y'all remember that last week or 2 weeks ago? You know, they're talking about he had surgery on his hand and had those 10 stitches. And, you know, no one knew what it was. Well, I found out, you know, what the 10, I found out what the surgery was. They were trying to put another finger on his one hand so he could wear all of his rings on one hand at the same time. So, okay, that's what I heard. Well, it's going to be kind of, hey, could you imagine trying to worship God with all them rings on your hand? You just like have to, praise the Lord, ding, with six fingers too. That would be crazy. Hey, the book of the month, by the way, is Rick Warren's God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. This is the book of the month. Go out there and buy the book of the month and read the book of the month. But, you know, everybody always asks me all the time, you know, Pastor P. And matter of fact, Kobe was asking me yesterday when we were walking around the mall trying to walk off all the Red Robin that I ate. He's asking me, you know, what's one of your favorite books and all this stuff? I said, well, I don't read a lot. I'm from Kentucky. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Don't read that much. And then I said, I do have a couple favorite books, but all these guys and pastors and people are always calling me, and, you know, hey, Pastor, what's the book you've been reading lately? And I said, Matthew. Hey, Pastor, no. There's another, you know, what other book, outside source, are you reading? I said, Romans. And they're always trying to get me to give them a book to read. And I'm like, man, you don't read the Bible. Why am I needed to? Okay, well, open your Bible up. I got to preach. That time's running out, 9:42 if you're taking medicine. And we got to get you out of here as soon as possible so the other snow people can come in for second service and you can stay here for the next one. Glory to God. First Kings. We're going to go all the way into the Old Testament. First Kings. Somebody say First Kings. Now, all of you know that while I'm preaching, I like for you to talk to me. So if you say amen, I'll be all right. If you say oh me, that's good too. Whatever you got to say, if you want to throw something, throw it. I'll duck and get out the way and keep preaching. Don't throw your cell phone up. It'll end up on the black market. Somebody say amen. If you throw it, you may not get it back. Glory to God. And we got to read in here in the Bible. And I'm going to read a little more scripture than I normally do, but it should be, for most of you, a story that you will be familiar with. And I want to read it to you out of 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the presence of the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with swords, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And then the Lord said to him, go return to your way to the wilderness. I like how the Lord right there, Elijah just got done just laying it on God. You know, like, what in the world is happening? The Lord didn't even, he didn't even acknowledge what he had felt like was a problem. Amen. And how many of you know sometimes if God's going to do something in your life, he has to go bypass all your grumbling. You might as well say amen. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Zaphath, Abel, Mahala, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes, I like this part, as you already know. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. I like it that in the Bible, the men of God weren't wimps. Anybody in the room? I said anybody in the room. I like it that men of God weren't limp-wristed wimps. I need somebody to say amen. That's why sometimes young folk, well, I don't know if I want to be a preacher. I don't know if I want to serve God, because they view them maybe as being weak. But man, my man Elisha was packing. The prophet of the Lord said, whoever they don't get, you get them. Somebody say amen. Lord, y'all going to have a rough month. I can promise you that right there. It's going to be rough for y'all because they're going to bring some truth here. And then he says, yet I have, by the way, in other words, by the way, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Then Elijah passed him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my mother or father and my mother, and I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him, took the yoke of oxen, slaughtered the yoke or the ox, and boiled its flesh, using the ox's equipment as fire, and gave it to the people. They ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Somebody say amen. Man, this is probably one of the top five stories in the Bible that I love. I love the story of Elijah and Elisha. I love it because it is just something that is meaningful to me, as I love to speak into and mentor others. I love having an Elisha close to me. I love having people that we can speak life into. Now, here's where we are in the story. Now, Elijah, he has ran for his life. Number one, he has just had a battle where he was whooping all of those that were standing against his God. He just now has called fire out of heaven and has destroyed the prophets of Baal. And the Bible says that he killed 400 prophets. Somebody say amen. He took care, in other words, he took care of God's enemies. And had a great victory, and the famine had ended, the drought had ended, rain had came, and now Jezebel, she's ticked off because he killed all of her prophets, and now she's trying to kill him. Now, isn't it funny, and somebody could probably say amen if you weren't scared to, that Elijah was able to kill all these prophets, all these false gods, but one angry woman, he said, I got to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He killed all, he whooped all these dudes. He's pulling the sword, fire's coming out of heaven. It looks like a scene out of Star Wars. He is cutting folk up. He's doing work, fire is coming down. And then all of a sudden this woman shows up and he's like, I gotta go. And the Bible says he took off running, fleeing for his life. Run, Blaine, I know you never ran from your wife, so I'll talk to you. Blaine, he ran all the way, got in the cave, and he's hiding there. And now he went from having the victory to having suicidal thoughts. Went from having one of the greatest battles ever recorded in biblical history to cowering down in a cave, looking for the Lord's voice in everything. Say amen. Have you ever had a great victory and then it seemed like right after the great victory there was a great problem? Isn't that how God do? God will let you get up on a great big mountain and you up there talking about thanking you, Jesus, God is good. And then all of a sudden you look back and there's more to fight and you're back down in the valley. But the good news is it's on the other side of the valley you were on before. You went up. That's what life is like. Amen. It's like Cedar Point. You go up and you go down. You go up. And you go down. But so he's down in this thing. God ain't speaking in the wind. God ain't speaking in the earthquake. He ain't hearing God in the fire. And a still small voice comes to Elijah and says, hey, dude, I don't know what you're doing in this cave. Because there's still yet work to be done. And he lets him know, hey, you got to go and anoint a king of Israel. You got to go and anoint a king of Judah. And by the way, you're getting kind of old, so you need to have someone that is going to rise up in your place. There's a young man named Elisha who is the son, and he's down there. He's a farm boy. Now, isn't it interesting that when Elijah finds Elisha, what is he doing? He's farming. Amen. He's plowing behind an ox. Now, don't y'all know oxes are dumb? Somebody say amen. You dealt with cattle. You dealt with oxes. Stuff. He is plowing behind a dumb thing. Somebody say amen, because this boy right here from Georgia is going to preach to you. Amen. While God is talking to Elijah about how Elisha is going to be your predecessor, Elisha is going to be the man that you raise up to do something great. Elisha is going to be the next prophet of Israel. Elisha is going to do some amazing things. While God is telling Elijah about Elisha, Elisha is following behind a dumb thing. See, isn't it interesting that God's got plans for you that you don't even know about while you're still following a dumb thing? Come on now. God is telling the man of God, ooh, I got a dude down there. He's a young man who's about to do work. And while he was talking about Elisha had 12. The Bible said there are 12. Yo, there are 12 men. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and Elisha was the 12th man, just plowing. He says, you go find that young man, and let's see what God will do. So the Bible says that Elisha comes, and he looks, and he sees this dude following behind a dumb thing. There are many of us in this room today that God is getting ready to use you, but you've got to get away from the dumb things in your life. Maybe this is part one of the chili sermon. Somebody say amen. Maybe you've got to get away from the dumb things. Because see, when you've got a hold of the dumb thing, it pulls you. Amen. You barely can control the dumb thing. If it really wanted to get loose, it could get away from you, but you're following behind the dumb thing. What a monotonous life. Not to say that farming was bad, but see, farming is all right if you were called to be a farmer. Following that thing would have been okay if that's what God had called you to do. But how many of you know that there are some dumb things you're behind that are preventing you from doing the great thing the great thing. You got to get away from the dumb thing. And so Elijah, he comes down and gets there, and he looks and he sees the guy. Now, you know the famous deal, Elijah's mantle. He had a mantle, didn't he? Yeah. And that mantle was what represented the power of God on his life. Amen. And the Bible says that he started at the front of the 12. And the Bible said that his mantle went by. See, sometimes God will pass by, amen, but you may not respond to it. Just passing by, said he passed by the 12 and 1, 2, God. And then when he got down to Elijah, when his mantle got on him, the Bible says that Elisha dropped the yoke and said, whoo, something. There used to be an old song in the old church, y'all probably don't know, but something got a hold of me. Oh, yes, it did. Something's got a hold of me. You know, y'all don't want to, you didn't want to go with me, but it's all right. I went by myself. Amen. Hey, amen. And when he got that mantle hit him, he stopped and said, something. Hold on, prophet, hold on. I got to go kiss my daddy, and I got to go kiss my mama, and I got to come with you. And Elijah said, what have I done to you? See, you've got to have what have you done to me moment in your life before God could really use you. You've got to have one of those moments where you drop the dumb thing. Better drop that girl. Better drop that man. You know, during the 21 days of fasting and praying, I didn't look at Facebook for 21 days. I fasted and praise the Lord. Honey, I have to break this to you. You don't fast Facebook. That's an idol. You kill them. I'll give you 5. I know you're here to help me. Amen. Amen. You fast food and you kill idols. Somebody say amen. I said you fast food and you kill the idols. You kill the dumb things in your life. He said, what have you done to me? Woo! What happened to me? Something. I got to now do some things. What has happened to me? What have you done to me? See, when you have... I get a little bit tired of churches where you go in one way and you leave the same way that you came in. There's something to be said about having an experience with the Holy Ghost. We have got so cute in church. We have got so relaxed in church where we have turned church into a glorified country club where there's no longer an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Ghost. But there's something to be said when you have an experience with God, that when everybody around you is talking crazy and telling you everything's right, and it's okay if your name is John, but you feel like a woman. Honey, if you have an experience with the Holy Ghost, you can say, that ain't right. There's something to be said of having a moment with the Holy Ghost, an experience with Him, where you can stop and say, what have you done to me? I could tell you, your pastor, he had a moment like that, and I just so happened to be there. Amen. Pastor Joe had a what have you done to me moment as he wandered into the back of a camp late, coming in late. Do you remember that? Coming in late because he went to the frozen prom thing or whatever it was. And he rolls in late, but the Holy Ghost was still moving. And as he rolled in the back door, he never stopped. He came in the back and rolled all the way down to the front of the altar. And who did he meet? He met a man of God. Who was he? It just so happens to have been me. Somebody say amen. And he rolled down and I leaned down in his ear and I began to prophesy over the man of God. He was only 17 years old. He didn't know the difference between come here and sick 'em. Somebody say amen. But the Lord grabbed a hold of his heart, and it was a what have you done to me moment. And because of that moment, here we are on 2 services on February the 4th, 2018. A what have you done to me moment. A ta-da moment. You know how magicians are. They'll do something crazy, a little sleight of hand, and then they will reveal it and say, ta-da. You've got to have a ta-da moment with the Holy Ghost. Moment to where you'll be like, okay. Then he says, okay, see, when you have that moment, it will provoke you to do something. He said, Okay, hold on, man. Prophet, hold on a second. Hold on right there, please. Just don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I gotta go kiss my mama, and I gotta go kiss my daddy. Amen. I gotta go kiss my mama and my dad. There's something happening to me. I can't explain it, but something's happening on the inside. Something has got a hold of me. Hold on a minute. I gotta kiss my mom. See, when God does something, there are some matters of the heart that you've got to kiss goodbye. No, go ahead and do it. Kiss something goodbye. You know, there's some matters of the heart that you've got to kiss goodbye. He said, I got to kiss my daddy goodbye and my mom. I've got to kiss them goodbye because, see, I'll tell you one thing real quick, if you don't mind. Well, it's only 10 o'clock. I got about 20 minutes where I can still just burn down the bridges. Somebody say amen. And so, you know, there are some things in life you got to kiss goodbye. Now, parents, I got to tell you a little something. I've been dealing with young people for 27 years. Somebody say amen. And I have discovered that the biggest roadblock in most young people's lives for serving God is the parents. Because in my youth group, my young people wanted to fast all the time because I was fasting all the time. And they'd go, and I'd get parents, well, I just don't know if Johnny should be really fasting like that. You know, he's a growing boy, and he needs his protein. And I said, look at Johnny. He could probably fast 40 days and not eat nothing. Please, he'd been eating them Oreos like it's going out of style. What? Well, you know, I just don't know if he's ready for fasting. And what I would tell the parents, man, girl, you already know. These meetings in my office were short and sweet. I'd be like, the problem is you ain't fasting. That's why you don't understand why he's fasting. That's why a lot of the times, in order for our children to really serve the Lord, they can't wait till they get 18 so they can bust out and go serve God. Well, I just don't know if it's a little bit dangerous down there in Mexico, you know, and I don't know if I want to send them on a missions trip. Have you been to Detroit, please? You hear what you're talking about? It's a little dangerous. My Lord, have mercy. Honey, get on fire for God so that your children can be on fire for God. Glory to God. That was free. Amen. Red Hot Chili Pepper Part 1. So he had to kiss those matters of the heart. You in this room have some matters of the heart. Like unforgiveness. Not going to be a lot of shouting right there. You don't have to shout. Matters of the heart. Unforgiveness. That thing that's keeping you from following. See, matters of the heart prevent you from following the man of God. Now, I know that we live in a time where now we don't respect anybody. Look at Twitter. Look at Facebook. We got a president who's, you know, I'm glad I'm not the president. Somebody say amen. I said, somebody say amen. Well, we're all armchair presidents, assistants. You know what I mean? Just like your armchair coaches. Well, I can't believe that coach is down there doing that, blah, 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 blah. Well, here's the bottom line. He getting paid like $10 million to do that, and you sitting there on unemployment. So you might as well be quiet. Amen. This is good preaching for a white man, ain't it? It's all right. It's all right. Amen. You know, we all got opinions and we want to disrespect, but amen. And somebody say amen. Man, I'm just going to let it ride and I'm going to do what the Bible says do and I'm going to pray and seek God. Amen. I'm going to give God the glory and let the chips fall where they may. And when the smoke clears and everybody else has done figured out what they want to do, I'm still going to be standing and say, well, I never claimed this and I never claimed that. But one thing that I did claim is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the true ruler of my life. And if my Bible says to pray for the authorities that are above me, I'm going to keep my mouth shut except to open it up and pray. Oh, pastor, what do you think about this? I'm praying. What do you think about that, pastor? Well, I'm praying. What do you think about this? Well, I'm praying. What do you think about Russia? Don't care. What do you think about North Korea? Blow them up. Don't care. What do you think about this? Don't care. Why? Because I've got to pray. I ain't got time to worry about that mess. Man, everybody want to have a debate. Why don't you pray? Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Pastor Joe. I slipped out. Praise the Lord. Hope it's not live. Amen. You got to kiss some things goodbye. You've got to let forgiveness reign in your life. You know, there are people that are holding on to stuff for so long that come up to me and like, Pastor, you hurt me 5 years ago. I'm like, 5 years ago? Well, too bad. That's what in the world? 5 years ago, my word, church. We holding on to some stuff. How many of you in this room know that you might have held on to some things a little long? Just be honest with me right now. Raise your hand and just shame the devil. Say, I might have. Yeah, you look at him. He's scratching his head and went like this. That's your dad. He's like, that's me. You holding on too long, you can't follow the man of God if you're holding on to things from the past. Matters of the heart. Things that you're committed to, but they're not committed to you. Things you're committed to, but they're not committed to you. Ooh, man. I just let the Lord use me, amen? Things you're committed to, but they're not committed to you. Glory to God. And that's matters of the heart. Go ahead, put your hand on it. Think in your mind, go on, kiss it goodbye. Unforgiveness, kiss that goodbye. Those commitments you made that ain't committed to you, kiss it goodbye. Whatever it is you're going through that's holding you, kiss it goodbye. You've only held on to it because it was wrapped around your heart. And it hurts a little when you jerk it out. Elisha said, I gotta kiss them goodbye. Because what you did to me is more powerful than what has happened to me. Always remember what is happening in you is greater than what's happening to you. Boy, that's good preaching right there. I could just drop the mic like the Verizon man and go on. Amen. Glory to God. What's happening in you is greater than what's happening to you. Then he did. Now, see, some of y'all might could do that, but you can't. Some people have trouble, Betsy, with this. There's still that eye. The ox was still there. That dumb thing was still there. See, what a lot of folk do, and I've seen people do this time and time again, they'll start getting on fire for God, and they'll start, man, I'm ready to go on a missions trip. I'm ready to start serving in the church. I'm ready to do this, and I'm ready to do that. But they keep the little side. They kept that ox. We'll put that ox up, though. Yeah. Get over here, Mr. Ox. Right now, I'm serving the Lord. But just in case that don't work, they can go back to that dumb thing. See, I've told everybody this in my life. If you've got a plan B, it's really your plan A. Y'all better hear that thing right there. That's good preaching right there. If you've got a plan B, it's actually plan A. Because 9 times out of 10, you put more effort into the plan B than you do plan A. How much effort would you put into plan A, amen, if there wasn't no plan B? So that's what Elisha did. He said, okay, hold on, Elijah, hold on. He got him a big old knife, grabbed a hold of that ox's neck, and said, cut the dumb thing's throat. And I did say dumb. Somebody say amen. He cut the dumb thing's throat. And it said he broke his yoke into pieces. Amen. Because some of y'all yoked up to the wrong thing. You got to kill the dumb things in your life so that you can truly follow God. And he used the yoke as a fire, and the thing that was binding him, the things that he was following after, he broke them up, killed it, and burnt it. And then took the things he struggled with and fed them to everybody else. So here you go, you can just eat this. In other words, the thing that used to be the thing that bound him was now what God was using to feed other people. See, the thing you've been struggling with in your life ought to be the testimony you're using to get other people to come to Jesus. That thing that used to be a thorn in your flesh ought to become a sword in the spirit so that you can destroy the works of the enemy. What does the Bible say? We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Somebody give Jesus a hand praise right there. Glory to God. The thing that used to get you in your side now ought to pull it out and use it as a sword against your enemies. Amen. Kiss some things goodbye. He killed the dumb thing. Y'all know I don't have to start naming, listen. I don't have to start listing stuff. Things in your life that are the dumb things in your life. You know the dumb things in your life. You know the dumb people in your life. You know the dumb websites you go to. Somebody say amen. You know the dumb stuff. You know the things that you want to go after God, but you're busy. Following a dumb thing. You want to go after the man of God. You want to travel with the man of God. You want to go do the things that God is calling you to do, but you're busy connected to the dumb thing. You got to kill the dumb thing. Somebody say amen. And then after he got that all done, what I liked about Elijah, the man of God, he really never stopped walking. He just kept on moving. He didn't wait on him. Because see, sometimes what the problem is with people in church, they get upset when the church keeps going while they're still following behind a dumb thing. That's when people in church, can I talk to you? You know, we're family, right? Are we family in here? I mean, right? You got some Georgia cooking right here. Y'all, we family, right? You know, I'm like the whatever of this church. Amen. Okay, so I don't need a title. I'm just going to bring a word. You know, it's funny that more people get offended in the house of God than they do in the world. Had one clapper and the rest of y'all felt guilty. That's good. That's good. More people get offended in church. Well, the pastor didn't shake my hand. Wah. Oh, the music's too loud. Wah. Because while you was in the world, you were laid up against a speaker at a concert talking about Elvis, 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 Michael Jackson, or whoever the heck it was. Your head was laid up against a speaker. You couldn't hear nothing for 5 weeks. But as soon as the church music it gets a little loud, you're like, well, let's get some out of loud. Somebody say glory. I don't know if I like it. The pastor don't seem like he's that nice. He doesn't have to be nice. He just got to give you the word of the Lord so that you can do the work of the Lord. Well, he's just not that nice. So what? You're not nice either. Let's be real and tell the truth and shame the devil. Well, I just don't know. What are you worried about for? You spend 45 minutes at church and you mad. Me a little longer because I'm here. Somebody say amen. You know, I think it's crazy that we get all bent out of shape over stuff, and the man of God is trying to lead God and direct your life, and you've never been happier, never been more excited, never had more clarity, never had more direction in your life, and you over here, you know, being every party has its pooper. Somebody say amen. But if you're going to go on to what God's got for you, you got to be ready for the fire. Man, look at somebody and say, toughen up. Give them that look, too. Go on, give them that look. I just said, I toughen up a little. Somebody was a little scared. Toughen up, son. Get a backbone. Amen. Stand up straight and know that you are a child of the Most High God and God's hand is on you. Amen. Well, I just don't know if I like that guy from Georgia. I hope he don't come back ever again. Good. We'll make sure to put it out on social media and you can take the day off. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you right now, God is wanting to do something great at New Chapel. God is wanting to raise up people here that'll square their shoulders back and stop following the dumb things in their life and kiss those heart issues goodbye and do something great. And the moral of the story is this. I got more to preach, but I got to cut it off. I'll get part B in the second service. Is that at the end of his life, I'll just cut to the chase. I was looking where he at. He's supposed to, if the service is really getting ready to be done, there should be a guy on the keyboard. I don't know. Since they're not back there, I'll keep preaching. Amen. Is that at the end, he went through years of serving the man of God. Years. I think it's about 20. 20 years of this. Y'all right? Them shoes look good for you? 20 years. The Bible said 20 years that he had washed the man of God's hands. 20 years of anointing the man of God with oil and washing him. That's one thing I appreciate about New Chapel is a few weeks ago we celebrated and about 20 or so new volunteers came to the table, didn't they? And if the 20-something volunteers would not have came to the table, there wouldn't be two services going on right now because we wouldn't have had the staff in order to, amen? And so I'm thankful that we've got that and that we got to keep it because 20 years the man served before he got his own gig. See, that's the problem. We don't want to do that. We want our own gig. But the Bible says there at the end of his life, Elijah told Elisha, he said, look, I got to go over here to preach. You stay here. You just stay right there, Elisha. I'm going to go down here and preach a little bit. And Elisha said, oh, no, my Lord, even as the Lord lives and you live, wherever you go, I'm going to go. He said, all right. Then a little while later, he said, okay, now I got to go down here to prophesy again. Got another engagement here. You stay back. No, no, no. Even as the Lord lives and you live, my Lord. I'm gonna go with you. All right. All right, but I got the one more stop I got to go, and then the Lord is going to come and get me. He got one more place I got to go, and then the Lord is going to come and get me. Me and him got an appointment. Glory. He knew he was getting ready to be took. So did everybody else. All the other... get off my English. He said, and the Lord knows he's going to take me out. So you stay back. No, even as the Lord lives and you live, my Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Boy, that's a good attitude. Son, what do you want from me? I want a double portion of your spirit. Well, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me go. In other words, as long as you keep your eye on me, when you see me leave, you've kissed the heart issues goodbye. You've left the dumb thing. You killed plan B. And if you see me go, you can have what you ask. And you know what? The Bible says that Elisha did twice as many miracles. He asked for a double portion, right? He did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Plus one. That's just like my God. Because now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you ask or even think or imagine, according to the power that's working in you. You know what that last miracle was that put him on the top of double? Elisha was dead. He was in a battle. And got killed in the battle, and they threw his body down in a cave. Then years later, the battle was raging, and a dead man Man, I hope I'm praying to God, Lord, when if I fall out dead, let my bones still be anointed. Amen. The Bible says that he was so anointed, Colby. The power of God was on him. A dead man gets stabbed in the arrow and falls back on Elisha's bones. He didn't get buried right. If you're going to serve God and then you think you're going to get buried right, nah. Your expectations are wrong. You're not going to always get treated right. Elisha was a great prophet and got thrown on the ground. But it didn't matter because even while he was thrown in a cave somewhere, his bones still had the power of the Holy Ghost. And that guy fell back on his bones, deader than a doorknob, and then pow, woke back up and said, "What was that? Look down. Woo! There was power in those bones." That was that extra miracle that God just did because that's the kind of God we serve. Stand up to your feet if you can. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, there were some notes up here. Well, it's all right. The only notes I had on my phone were the announcements I was supposed to give, and then the video did that for me, so I just left it alone. How many of you would say, "Pastor, I've got some things"? Let's just be honest. We won't have time to come down here and just get down and get after it in this first service. We will in the second service, because then we just dismiss, and whoever wants to stay can stay, and whoever needs to go home to cook some good chili for the Super Bowl party to get back at 6 can do that. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? And God is faithful. How many of you in here can say, "You know what? There's some issues in my life that I need to kiss goodbye"? Anybody? Raise your hand. You know you got some stuff that, issues of the heart, you need to kiss goodbye. Ooh, that's almost everybody, ain't it? I dare somebody today, when you leave this church today, I bet you won't go down the road and go like this. Kiss it goodbye. It'd be funny, too. Somebody at the intersection might blow you back a kiss. I don't know what they'll be like. "That's so sweet." In Georgia, that would happen. Here, probably not. In Georgia, they'd be like, "Oh, that guy was so sweet. He just blew me a kiss." Amen. And then, how many of you got some things in your heart that you, some dumb things in your life? You may not want to raise your hand, but you can, because we all family. How many of you know you got some dumb, some stuff, just straight up, some dumb stuff? Come on. We know, all of us do, don't we? If we're really real, we all got some dumb stuff, because if we didn't have some stuff like that in our life, we could go down there to the hospital maybe and clear it out. You know what I mean? We could do miracles. But there's sometimes some things down in our pipes that prevents the anointing from flowing. Isn't that right? Sometimes we just need some spiritual Drano, just so that our pipes would get, so we could just get cleaned out. You know what I'm talking about? So that the Holy Ghost could flow. Amen. There may be somebody in here, maybe tonight, today, at this 9 o'clock service, maybe you have never connected yourself to Christ. Maybe you have never connected to Him. Maybe you've never made that commitment where you said, "You know what? I need to serve the Lord with all of my heart, my mind, my soul. I need to give my heart to Christ." Man, what a first Sunday of February. Now, there's not a better time to say, "You know what? I need to connect to new life." There is not a greater life. Man, I'm telling you, I just tell you my own testimony. There ain't nothing I would rather do but serve God. Serving Jesus is all that matters to me. With every head, could you bow your head? Every head bowed and every eye closed, and no one looking around. Maybe you're in this room and you say, "Pastor, I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to have one of those what have you done to me moments in my life. Maybe you're here and that's you. You said, that's me, Pastor. I want to have that. I want to have a moment with Him. I need to give my heart to Christ. If you're in here and within the sound of my voice and you say, man, this would be a good time to have a fresh start giving my heart to Christ. If you're here, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, all you got to do is slip your hand up very carefully and quickly, and you can put it back down. If you want to have a new start, a new fresh start giving your heart to Christ, on the count of three, one, two, three, you can put your hand up and put it right back down. Very good. And how many of you then, you can look up because we've already been honest about it. Are you ready to kill the dumb thing? And you are ready to kiss some things goodbye so that God can use you. There's an old song that said, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lift both of your hands towards heaven because I know that's your prayer. I know that's your prayer. I know that's your heart. That if the Lord could use anything, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Glory. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you could use anything, Lord. Lord, help your people on today to kill every dumb thing that they're following in their life. Help them, oh God, to kill every dumb thing, everything that's holding them back, constraining them, restraining them, oh God. Kill the dumb things of their life. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God, kill every dumb thing in their life. And Lord, the heart issues, God, the things they've got to kiss goodbye. God, that unforgiveness, they would kiss it goodbye, oh God. Things that are holding them, oh God, let them kiss it goodbye. Those heart issues, the pain issues. Oh, come on, with your hands lifted. As a matter of fact, I think there's a person here tonight or this morning that your heart issue, you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone that's not even alive any longer. They passed away. And yet, there's unforgiveness towards that person, and they're not even here. Somebody say amen. They're not even here. They're gone. They went on. Yet, you need to go ahead and forgive that person. They're not even here. Hallelujah. If that was you, say, that's me. Anybody here? If that was you. Unforgiven, and they're not even here any longer. I see some people. Amen. Isn't God good? Put your hand on the shoulder of the person you're standing next to. Hallelujah. And just pray over them real quick. And then I got 3 minutes. It's counting down right here. Pray over that person right now. Open up your mouth and just pray. Open up your mouth and just pray over them right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we lay hands on our neighbor, God, that you would bless them in the name of Jesus. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. Bless them in the city and in the field, oh God. Let your hand be upon them in a powerful way. Let your anointing break every yoke of bondage that may be in their life, oh God. Lord, that every dumb thing, every heart issue, God, would be broken and kissed goodbye. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're raising up warriors with strong backs, oh God, and with gentle spirits. Hallelujah. Strong backs and gentle spirits. That God, that they would be as powerful as a roaring lion, and as gentle as a dove, and as wise as a serpent, oh God. That they would be raising up, God, here at New Chapel like never before. And that this church would be a beacon, a light on a hill, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That people would drive by and see a pillar of cloud
cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night that would reside over this building and over these people, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we glorify you, that we thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a year where we do double, oh God, double than what we've did in the past 4 years, oh God, double than what we've did in the past, that there'd be double salvation, double the healings, double the miracles, oh God. And as we go forward in February, addressing these issues, oh God, let them be addressed with power and authority in the name of Jesus. Don't let Pastor Joe cower down or be nervous when preaching the Word of God, but let the truth be told, and let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. And Father, we thank you and glorify you in the name of Jesus. If you love God and believe it to be true, give Jesus a hand clap of praise right now. Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.